B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Feeling good this morning. Feeling very, very good this morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. You know, I stayed up last night to watch the game, make sure that the Phillies would take care of business against the Chicago Cubs. And boy, did they. Not into any blowout form or anything like that. But Trey, it was a game that you felt like they were going to win. They had the 3-1 lead. They had it late in the game. Mm-hmm. You felt like they were going to win this game. And then they lose on a just bonkers play. Gene Segura throwing it off a guy's foot. It bounces to the stands. And they get a little league home run, as they termed it. But yet they come back because Jamie's boy, Mean Gene, stepped up to the plate and made things happen. Little RBI single, should have been a double over the first baseman. Well, I don't know if it would have been a double, but first over the first baseman's head, over Anthony Rizzo, goes into left field, or right field, excuse me.
Got a little greedy with the base runner.
Got a little greedy. I thought he was safe. I didn't expect him to
go greedy. That was close.
Yeah, go ahead and take the single, though.
Yeah, I mean, they got the run anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't going to count against anyway, him. So go ahead and take the single.
But it would have been one of those losses that would have been, in all honesty, for a May loss, it would have been one of those losses that was, like, devastating. Because they were leading.
Yeah.
Jake Arrieta pitched great in his return to Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
He looked incredible.
Got a standing ovation.
He got some help in the field. Got a standing ovation. That was very nice. And they had that poll during the game. Did you hear this? They asked a question basically about you, Darvish, and Jake Arrieta, and whether or not you wanted to re-sign Jake Arrieta at that time, right? And it was only 50-50. Judging from that ovation, it was like 100% they wanted Jake Arrieta to stay.
But it's always good when you go back, man. You get a little low.
Oh, certainly.
Get a little low.
But the get Phillies a little tickle on your hiney.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That again.
Yeah,
first, now I hate Jimmy Rollins again, and now we're tickling hineys.
Pick on Mark Day.
Talk to Celeste about that, man, you know.
Yes, no, I've talked to
him. The crack.
We've been together. We have been together for 9 years. We've had that conversation in the early goings.
Okay.
That's like first date material, my friend.
Really? Hey, so listen, you just come out first date.
Don't touch my butt.
Hey, listen, no tickles in the crack.
Just don't touch the butt. Stay away. I don't want any good hustles. So it was a feel-good day yesterday.
Okay.
But, you know, they close out the victory. Good.
Yes, they did.
JT Realmuto gets the home run to seal the deal for you in the 10th inning. And then you're able to get Adam Morgan coming in, Juan Nicasio coming in the ninth, or excuse me, bottom of the 10th inning to get you the victory. It was all nice. And even earlier in the day, you had probably an even better vibe. Now, if you asked everybody to a man across Philadelphia whether or not they would expect Carson Wentz to be healthy by week one or even by training camp, as in no limitations, no carryover from the back injury and or the knee injury, I would think that the vast majority of people, probably 95% at least, would say, oh yeah, Carson's going to be back. He's going to be fine. Yeah. He'll be ready to go. So why wouldn't Doug Peterson, when he was asked about it at the owners' meetings, say that he was healthy? Why wouldn't Howie Roseman, as recent as the draft, say that he was healthy and ready to go?
Because.
So the report comes out yesterday that Carson Wentz is progressing well from the back injury. This is from Ian Rappaport from 2018. And his sources say he has no limitations on the field drills during OTAs beginning tomorrow. The team will be smart with him, of course. And obviously, they'll manage him. And you'll probably not hear anything like Doug Peterson say. You probably won't hear Doug Peterson say, oh, well, we're just taking our time and seeing how everything turns out and all that stuff. I understand it's not training camp yet. But this is a guy that they never put on IR last year.
He didn't have surgery.
I understand that.
He didn't have surgery.
Correct.
So what's the big...
So why wouldn't they just say that he's fine?
Why wouldn't we just assume that he's fine?
No.
He didn't have surgery.
You can never assume.
I know, but he didn't have surgery.
Like, Doug was getting mad at reporters, kind of, you know, because they were asking. He's like, come on, why are we going there? This is
exactly
about the rookies. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the big story, though, Trey? I mean, I'm defending here. Like... I'm a media person. I'm going to go in and say...
you have to ask the question.
So, Miles Sanders, what are we thinking? Third down for him?
He didn't have surgery.
Right. So, but... Okay. Totally agree with you. So, why has the organization, to Mark's point again, not come out and say, look, he's fine. He's good to go. We're okay.
Because they don't have to. They're always going to keep that little, you know, veil closed. But he didn't have surgery.
Right. But I have to ask that question.
I get it.
Right?
Yeah. But I mean, he didn't have surgery. I'm expecting for him to come back to OTAs and do all of the drills and everything. He didn't have surgery.
Doug Peterson should say what you're saying then.
Yeah.
He should have said, what? He didn't have surgery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he didn't have surgery. All right, let's move on. But then it opens up to everything else. You know,
it's frustrating. I understand.
I would still take Doug Peterson saying, we were going to play him last year if it came to it. So, of course, he's going to be ready to go.
Yeah,
that would make me feel a heck of a lot better.
He's okay.
At the owner's meetings, when he had the little breakfast, he's sitting down there at the round table with all the reporters, right? That happens every year. He goes into the whole thing about Carson and says, oh, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how he progresses. Like, what?
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Do you think that sometimes your coach is just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to just mess with them back.
Yes, but I don't think about this.
Okay.
I don't think the head coach would mess with the media about the starting quarterback. I think that there is the gamesmanship part of it, and that's what he got into last year. And I think it was Ian Rappaport that put out the story about Carson being ready to go for week three, it would have been last year. And he was all upset about it because he didn't want the other team to know his plan. I mean, we should have known going into it that Carson Wentz 100% was going to be fine.
Yeah.
And now that this report came out from me in Rappaport, I feel a little bit better about it. Now I just want to see him out there. I'll be down there today. I'll be watching. Hopefully everything is fine and there's no worries whatsoever. But the fact is, they already showed their cards last year. And they're acting like they didn't show you their cards. That's what was frustrating about it.
Okay.
All right, Trey's on the need to know basis. I'll let you know when you need to know.
Didn't have surgery.
Mark and I are the media people. Right. Like, why can't they just be forthcoming?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So as recent as last week at rookie camp, he wouldn't answer questions about Carson Wentz.
Yeah, because it was rookies. It was a rookie. Yeah,
right, it was rookie making.
But it depends about the rookies.
But to Bob's point, what am I going to do? Ask you about Miles Sanders?
Yeah, you should have.
He's a real heck.
People did.
It was about rookies.
It was a 15-minute press conference.
Carson wasn't even there.
It was a 15-minute press conference.
Carson wasn't there.
Yeah.
First game of the season, Miles Sanders, third down, he gets the ball handed off to him. Who's handing the ball off to him?
That's how you tie it.
Is he going to be okay to hand off the ball? Yeah, I mean, it was a rookie minicamp.
Again, so Trey, so my point is that if you would have asked every Eagles fan in the world whether or not Carson Wentz was going to be ready by training camp, even, they would have said, oh yeah. I would have said maybe even 99% would have said, heck yeah, he'll be fine, ready to go, no limitations. But the fact that the team wouldn't acknowledge it, and look, to this point, they still haven't acknowledged it, it's just a report that's out there. I still think we're going to hear the same type of thing from Doug Peterson all the way through the summer and into training camp.
Is this his first offseason with no surgery? Well, he didn't have surgery the first time with his wrist.
Wrist? That was college, right?
College was wrist, yeah.
College was wrist. He had the ribs. What was it?
Ribs was wrist.
The only surgery he's had since the Eagles has been the knee, right?
Well, yeah. The only healthy like mini camps or OTAs he's really had is the preseason before his stellar 17 year, right?
Yeah. Right.
So in theory, if he has time to prepare, he's at an MVP level.
Right there. There you go.
All right. Well, that's fine.
No surgery.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
You get him some Pilates. You know, you just had a little, you know.
Yoga and Pilates.
Yeah, get some yoga, Pilates, get some hula hoop in, and just get on through, man.
Hula hoop?
Yeah, hula hoop.
I like that.
I don't feel good about the hula hoop.
It gets the core. It helps with the core.
He's injury prone.
It's a core thing, though. It's a core thing, man. You got the, you know, it takes a little core to get
there. I like it. A little hula hoop.
You guys are both, what are you doing? You're both hula hooping in your chairs. It's very off-putting.
I will say it's better than a cup of coffee. You got to get the core strong, darling.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, now, speaking of a cup of coffee, I just want to make a general announcement to help all the fine people that will be calling this radio program throughout the day, or possibly just talking to Jamie Lynch at any point if he's on the air and he's talking about whatever. You just heard him there. If he sounded a little agitated, Jamie, I like the way you described it at a 5 o'clock hour. Last night was the first night the baby wasn't cool.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much all the other time, she's really cool. Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
Last night, not so much.
Yeah, it was one of those nights where I was like, yeah, if I'm not being held or fed, I'm going to cry and make your life hell. And I was like, oh, I see what you're doing, baby. I don't respect it, but I see what you're doing.
He called her damn baby in the 5 o'clock hour. Damn baby. I slapped him on the wrist for that one.
I feel like you could say that about like the neighbor's kid that won't stop crying.
Yeah, you can't say it about
that damn baby over there won't stop crying. You know,
it's probably what my neighbors were saying last night. I heard it and I just regurgitated it.
I think I want to save the audio and play it for Skylar right before her senior prom. I think I didn't want to do
that. She was listening the day my mom joined us to give her Sixers Raptors prediction, and I said nobody cares about Skylar. Addie texted me and she's like, real nice, Skylar heard you. I was like, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's awesome.
All right, so we got plenty to get into with the Phillies. We're going to run through yesterday's game, including a couple of just incredible highlights from yesterday, including Bryce Harper and including JT Realmuto. We'll get into that one. One is a low light for the Phillies, but it's just to set up the payoff. It's just the payoff. Have the bigger payoff sure. with JT Realmuto. And I got a stat from yesterday's broadcast on the Chicago air. On NBC Sports Chicago, that is mind-blowing when it comes to Jake Arrieta, and it's courtesy of Ryan Spader, ace of Spader. Love that guy.
Yeah, I follow him.
He's got some great stats. I like when he gets bored and he just tweets out. Amy Fiddle and I talk about this a lot. He gets tweeted, or he gets bored and he'll just start tweeting out Tony Gwynn stats. It's like, you know Tony Gwynn, never struck out ever in his life. No, whatever it was. But I got a stat for you about that. We'll recap the Phillies game from yesterday. Also, what the hell happened to Wrigley Field?
Yeah, it looks different.
Where did they play yesterday? Was that Chicago? I don't know if that was...
Was that South Side.
Was that Clark?
Comiskey Park.
Yeah. That was an imposter they built on the South Side to mess with people. Like I said, Carson Wentz is fine, so that's good to get into. Around the NFC East, some news with the Washington football team, as well as Ezekiel Elliott. His face is in the news again. Warriors are an incredible basketball team, in case you missed it. And to all the kids out there that might have a presentation, when I say kids, I mean college age here. If you have a presentation to do when it comes to your schooling, you might want to take this kid's advice when it comes to presenting at Cornell University. We'll get to that in a minute here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. I was debating whether or not if that game went 11 innings, I was going to stay up for 11 innings last night. Like, that's the mind game I was playing with myself. Jamie, was the baby crying last night to keep you up with the 11th inning, if it happened?
Yeah, I had her in my arms. She was fine there. Is when I put her down or did anything else other than hold her.
Oh, okay.
When all hell broke loose.
So needy.
I know.
Those babies.
It's like they can't take care of themselves. So stupid.
So I was debating with myself. I was like, oh, dear God, please, JT Realmuto, do something here. Make something happen.
That's the
win
problem with
game.
Extra innings. You're like,
Right. And I'm like, I know, I'm in. So, you know, I'm moving into this new house, right? Well, 100-year-old house, whatever. And I just started going through boxes. Like, I started to, like, try to keep my mind occupied aside from just the game to keep myself awake. But it was just one heck of a game last night in Chicago.
Very entertaining.
Well, yeah.
It was funny. You said something earlier. When they got down 4-3, I was thinking to myself, man, this leads to losing 3 of 4 or getting swept. If they lost that game the way they would have last night had it played out, I think it would have had a carryover effect and been really bad. That's the feeling had when they got down 4-3.
It was such a relief.
Yeah.
JT Realmuto, and we'll get to that point. JT Realmuto hits his home run. It was just actually Gene Segura, first and foremost, gives you the little relief when he ties the game at 4-4. Then JT Realmuto wins it. But here you go. Going into this game, you weren't sure what you were going to get from Jake Arrieta. I think we were all pretty confident yesterday when we run around the horn that he was going to have a good outing against the Cubs. And I'll give you the stat that he had over a year's time in Chicago that is just mind-blowing for Ryan Spader.
I tweeted out yesterday before the game. I was like, all right, Arrieta, you better show up tonight, because if you don't, I don't want to hear a peep about any of your teammates for the remaining year and a half.
You're a real tough guy on Arrieta, aren't you?
Well, when you...
You really were.
Like, well, when you try to step up and be the leader and then soil yourself in consecutive years for 3 to 4 games, you're not being a good leader.
Jamie's so salty anymore.
Yeah, not just changing Skyler's diapers, but Arietta, too.
Yeah, right?
Gonna be all crying in front of me.
I mean, you're gonna call out your teammates. You gotta back it up.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. But I think I say that to you a lot, that I 100% agree with you. You're a brilliant man.
Yeah.
But Jake Arrieta, Trey, he mm-hmm. goes into the game, first inning, looking pretty sharp.
Yeah.
A lot of life on his balls, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
That's just what it looked like.
Okay.
Then Jake Arrieta comes out in the second inning.
Got a lot of movement.
A lot of bite to his balls.
Yeah, a lot of bite. Thank you, Bob. But Jake Arrieta then comes out in the second inning, not so much. Bases loaded.
A little bite on his balls. There it is.
Jake Arrieta did not look so sharp in the second inning, but does work his way out of a bases loaded, one out jam.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good for you, Jake Arrieta.
There you go.
Then in the fifth inning, he'd done okay. In the fifth inning, Jake Arrieta, again, bases loaded, one out jam. Not a good situation to be in for a starting pitcher, especially one that wants to make a big impression on his old squad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he steps up, or he gets to the plate here. He's going up against the Cubs, obviously. And there's a situation where there's only one out. The bases are juiced. They're already down 1-0. So then Bryce Harper is in right field, per usual,
mm-hmm.
and a line drive, I think it was Almaro, hits a line drive with the bases loaded to Bryce Harper, and Bryce Harper unleashes fury in a tag-up situation. Listen to this, courtesy NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Almaro hits one out toward right field. Harper makes the catch. Rizzo's tagging, coming home. The throw to the plate is... in time! The fly from Bryce Harper, and Anthony Rizzo has nailed at home plate.
And full credit to JT Realmuto, who made a great play on the ball as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, Harper just threw a laser to home, and Realmuto caught it up the line a little bit, reached back, tagged Anthony Rizzo, double play. Inning over, threat over, Phillies escape just down 1-0. It could have been a lot worse in that situation in the fifth inning. Then JT Realmuto is actually able to tie it up in the following inning in the sixth. Cesar Hernandez had a 2-run triple for the club. They go up 3-1 in the sixth. Jake Arrieta is done. He shuts down the side in the sixth inning. 3 up, 3 down, leaves the game after going up against his old team. 6 innings, 1 run, 8 hits, walk 2, struck out 4. 99 pitches, ERA now down to 377. He's in line for the victory, right? Yeah, things are looking good. And guess what? This guy, and as I mentioned earlier, gets the 30-second standing ovation from the hometown crowd. They asked the question before the start in Chicago whether or not people wanted the Cubs to re-sign Jake Arrieta over Yu Darvish. It was a 50-50 split. It wasn't 50-50 when they gave the standing ovation to him. And here's why. Listen to this stat from Jake Arrieta with his time with the Cubs. From June 21st, 2015 to May 31st, 2016. All right, so about a year there, right, give or take. Jake Arrieta had more no-hitters, 2, more home runs hit, 3, than he had losses over the 31 starts that he made over that span.
That's insane. I heard that last night. I went, whoa.
That was on the Chicago broadcast, courtesy of Ryan Spader on Twitter, right? He sends it out there. That's ungodly. The only game he lost was to a guy that threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, and we know him pretty well.
And that guy's name is Cole Hamels, mm-hmm. and he was pitching for the Phillies at the time in his last start as a Philly. Like, that is insane.
Cool little Cole Hamels story that day. All the Phillies fans that were in Chicago ended up, like, lining up outside the locker room to try and, congratulate him. Cole spent, like 35, 45 minutes signing everything for the fans out there that day.
That's pretty awesome.
So that's pretty cool.
That's incredible.
There was a good showing there last night. You can hear
one
there. Yeah, there was a good amount of Phillies fans.
I had a friend of the game. I had a friend that was at the game last night.
Yeah.
Two friends, actually, were at the game last night. Yeah, that's a great trip. That's like one thing I wish I could do every year is just go out to Chicago for the Wrigley series with
Take
the Phillies.
Take a drive up, yeah.
Yeah. To drive, I'd fly.
We need a private jet, buddy. We need one of those.
Yeah, sure.
Just pop in, pop out.
Let me know when that happens. Yeah. Trey?
Yes?
Nothing? All right, never mind. I'm sorry. I thought you'd just volunteer that. No? Okay, fine. But so they're going through the game here. Jake Arrieta leaves the game after the sixth inning. Yeoman's work did a hell of a job, right? But then in the seventh inning, Anthony Dominguez comes in. 1-2-3 inning. I think, all right, good. Good for Anthony, Sir Anthony Dominguez, right? He leaves the game. Then in the eighth inning, you see Dominguez again. And I'm going, doesn't he usually struggle in the next inning if they try to get 2 innings of work out of him? Now, I think this was the first time this year they actually tried to get two innings from Sir Anthony Dominguez. And you see Gabe Kapler looking back into the dugout. Did you guys catch this? And he's looking, like, he's checking to see if his bullpen's okay. And if I'm not mistaken, in the new and improved Wrigley Field, they have the TV monitors in the dugout so they can watch what's going on in the bullpen. And you can actually cut to it on TV, and you can actually see Pat Neshek warming up. And they're going, why isn't he ready yet? Why is he not coming into the game? What's going on here? And then he ends up not coming into the game. Dominguez, I think, walks two. Still no Neshek. Cubs then score three on a little league ball hit by Daniel Descalso. Here it is yesterday on NBC Sports Chicago with the demise of the Phillies in the eighth inning.
Driven out of the left center.
And you're thinking, oh, well, this is a gut punch. Now they're going to lose this game. They're not going to be able to come back. You feel terrible. And they're going to start out a series against one of the best teams they're facing all year with a loss on the road at Wrigley in a four-game set. Like, that's not how you want to start out a series,
no,
obviously.
No, that's definitely
with a deflating. Like, I would have honestly felt better if it was 7-0 in the first inning. But the fact that you felt like you're going to lose a game, that you were up 3-1, little league home run like that, ball bounces off the Scalzo's foot and goes into, you know, goes into oblivion, and he ends up scoring a little league home run. But thank goodness, Gene Segura remains hot at the plate. He gets the RBI to tie it up. Well, as you said, Trey got a little greedy, mm-hmm. running to second base, trying to get two out of it. Didn't work out for him. They get out of the inning, the Cubs do, and then they go into extra innings. So then in the 10th inning, JT Realmuto plays the role of hero with the score tied at 4.
1-2 to Realmuto. That one's hit well. Out to left center field. Going back on it is Schwarber toward the wall. Gone! Home run, Realmuto, and the Phillies take the lead. His sixth home run of the year, and it's time to celebrate. You're wearing red in the bleachers.
This is a time for JT Realmuto to get hot. You know what I mean? If Harper can get hot again, he squared up a couple balls yesterday.
Yeah.
That didn't really fall for him, unfortunately. But if JT Realmuto can get hot and Cesar Hernandez can stay hot, up until his last two at-bats last night when he was 3-for-3, he was hitting 400 in May. Got his average up to 400.
Still, I saw you tweet that out.
Still, you know, 370, what is it, 368 now, I think it is, 370. Mm-hmm. That's not too shabby either for the month of May. He has really gotten it together from the plate. Had a couple of good plays in the field last night as well. There was, a situation in that second inning with the bases loaded where Cesar Hernandez went home, made a good heads-up play, made the right play there, had a good catch over his shoulder later in the game going into the outfield. I think that was in the seventh inning. He had a really good game last night, Cesar did.
Yeah, and you know, it's also little things. Like, what Cesar's doing, you're not expecting, so that's great because it's a little thing, but it's great. But McCutchen last night, he goes 0-2 in the ninth inning. Two outs, 0-2. They're at their last strike, and he takes four straight balls. Like, two of them were really close. Great eye by him. He gets on base, boom, Segura comes up, gets a single to tie the game. Like, it's little things like that that make your team, like, from good to kind of really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, you don't win that game last night if McCutchen, he's 0-2, you know, big comeback, the fans are going nuts, and he takes two pitches borderline, two more walks, and then Segura comes through.
He struck out. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind.
On the swing?
Yeah.
You think?
He broke the plane, whatever you call it. Like, there's either
that was close.
You either swing or you didn't. There's no, you know, check swing in the rule book, right? He swung. Like, he offered at it. I mean, if it was a bunt, he offered at it, whatever. But fine, we'll take that one.
Exactly.
If that means you don't get the Gene Segura double, I guess, then fine. I'll take that, as long as he scores the run. But then JT Realmuto steps up, like we said, in the 10th inning and cashed in. But here's the thing. As good as Cesar Hernandez has been, there's one, I guess, semi-negative thing to draw from it. Only one thing. And that is what you do with Scott Kingery, who is now obviously back at the major league level after his rehab assignment.
It was funny. My buddy, who's a fantasy baseball nerd yesterday, he's in a very competitive, like, long-term keeper league. He texts me. He goes, dude, Scott Kingery's, like, the hot pickup right now. Is he going to get consistent at-bats? And I was like, I don't know how to answer that. Like, maybe? But to your point, like, where he's center fielder kind of bust right now. Maybe third?
Right, if Franco continues to struggle. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're a Cesar Hernandez guy,
he's killing the ball right now.
You have every reason to make the argument, stop with Scott Kingery already. Mm-hmm. You're getting exactly what you wanted out of the second baseman right now. Stop with Scott Kingery. And I'm a Scott Kingery kind of guy.
Yeah.
And I hear you. I understand that. I have no argument for it.
Well, I think that argument is now dead.
And for now, it is.
While Cesar Hernandez is having a near 400 May.
He's capitalizing, man.
Yeah, you got to respect that.
Just a little earlier, like, oh, let's get rid of him. Let's get out of this. Can we trade him? And Cesar's like, no.
Well, and you know, I put out the stat, like Bob referenced, I tweeted it last night when he was hitting 400 in May. Now, not so much, but still one heck of a May. Somebody said something along the lines of, subtract a point for every time he messes up in the field.
He did have two boneheaded plays last week.
He also had
a stellar play last night where he went home right away and knew where he was going.
Boom. The mental game of it. They talked about it on the plane. Here we go.
He's wearing a Sixers shirt under his jersey.
That is pretty baller.
He's winning all the way around.
Yeah, Second day in a row he was doing that.
He's killing it.
Philadelphia Unite, baby.
I heard T-Mac say that last night during the broadcast, and I went, oh, really? That's a Philly shirt?
Yeah.
And then I was looking, and there he was on first base. I think it was after his second hit.
You see the bell and the snake a little bit. Yeah.
Exactly. I go, oh, no way. It's not a Philly shirt. Good for you.
It's very cool. You've seen Bryce warming up in Sixer stuff. Gabe's been wearing it. It's very cool.
Gabe wore it when he met Bruce Willis.
Do you know what's that?
It was like, wait, the Phillies or Sixers are already eliminated.
Positivity.
Keep it coming, Gabe. You do you. But so that was the one thing you look at in this game where you go, all right, I think now we can officially put to bed the Kingery versus Cesar Hernandez battle. For now. But really.
Barring in another slump.
Is this the time right now to make that argument? Of course not.
No.
The argument is, where else can Scott Kingery play?
Odubel is frustrating.
Yeah.
That'll never change.
No, but at some point you're going to grow tired of it to a point where he's not here anymore.
Yeah.
And that could be coming very soon.
I don't know. I feel like I've been hearing this for a while.
You have, but now now you have real talent around him. Before it was like you were like kind of limited because he was one of your more productive players. Now he's not anywhere near your top productive players, so it's like, all right, see ya.
So whose fault was that between him and McCutchen?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing.
Yeah.
That's because
center fielder's ball.
Yeah. Center fielder's always in charge.
Absolutely.
He's your quarterback out there.
Who's in left field? And I understand it's
center
fielder. So it's the same mindset, and you know McCutchen.
It looked like Odubel relented to give McCutchen a chance at it.
Well, then peel
curled
off and go to the wall.
Yeah. He should have.
Be the backup. Don't run past the play.
There was the communication with this team defensively has, I think, been a little bit of an issue this year.
Yeah, so to answer the question, and I think, and you guys are right, I think it's the center fielder's ball.
It was equally between them.
Yeah.
But center fielder's ball.
But center fielder's got to take control.
He's got to yell out.
He's got to yell out what's going to happen.
Maybe McCutchen doesn't understand Spanish.
I don't know.
He doesn't trust him.
I think that's more along the lines. I think if you've been in baseball for as long as Andrew McCutchen, you understand Lo Tengo, which I believe is I got it. It's the first thing I learned in Spanish.
Lo Tengo!
Then it was Donde está Bando, por favor.
What? What?
What do you say?
So the ball.
You know I don't speak Spanish, Baxter?
That's right. But so the argument of Cesar Hernandez and Scott Kingery is done. But now it's, what do you do with Scott Kingery now that he's up here? Because you know they want him to play. Look what they just did to Nick Williams because he wasn't getting reps. They DFA'd him.
Is it so hard to get him three games a week? Like Segura one game, Franco one game, Hernandez one game a week. Like, is it that hard to get him 18 at bats?
In theory, Kingery should play 3 to 4 times a week, just giving guys rest.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Now, I know Gabe has gone the other way now with the lineup. Like, I'm not changing a thing. I'm staying with what I have. You know, I'm Mr. Stability here.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I think Kingery does need to get some at-bats. You can still have your stability, but give a guy off, you know, one day a week. I think Segura should get it. I think Franco should get it. And then, of course, you mix it. If Hernandez is hot, all right, let him play out. But you can get Kingery some at-bats.
You would hope so, but then are those other guys just thinking about Oh, I'm going to get benched sooner or later. I'm going to get taken out sooner or later. I don't get to establish it. You know how baseball players are.
God, I'll tell you what, 162 games, I'm almost begging to have off a day a week.
I want to give that to Andrew McCutchen, and that's not a knock on him, but no. I just feel like he's a guy that has to be preserved.
He's got 33-year-old legs. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played a lot of center field in his career. You know, yeah, he does have to be preserved.
There's a lot of miles right there.
There is, yes.
Now, the other part of this is what's going on with Pat Neshek. Because there was a situation last night where he had the opportunity to help out the team and then wasn't available, and it came out after the game. It was because of a lat issue. I think Matt Gelb said that it was a little lat issue that they're dealing with right now.
Hmm. Well, at least it's not a big lat.
I guess, but he was warming up. I guess he tried to go for the team and couldn't do it. Like, I'm watching it last night, and I'm going, is this the return of the prima donna Neshek?
A lat issue.
That's as you stretch yours out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out.
And this has been the knock on Pat Neshek since he's been here. He's been very effective when he's been in, but then on the other side of it, you can't ever really rely on him to take the ball. Hmm. And I'll never forget Pete McCannon saying years ago, and it's still the truth, the Shaq only goes one inning. Like last night, you couldn't even get one out of them. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we got good news in the NFC East yesterday with our quarterback, with Carson Wentz. We got some great news with Carson Wentz, as a matter of fact. And then...
That was expected news.
You know what? It was. But, you know, it's one thing for the people to tell you, oh, I'm buying you a car, and then you get it. And it's like, okay, good. Thank you.
Okay.
Trey, the team should have said, like, it's not even a debate.
There was nothing for them to say.
Yeah,
he didn't have surgery.
So, well, they chose not to go have surgery.
Drink some milk, you're all right. You know, go play.
When they tell you that he could still play in the playoffs,
he could drink some milk, man, you're all right.
And then 4 months later, they're still like, well, we don't know. He was active.
They were messing with you, man. It's okay. He was good.
It was bush league.
He didn't have surgery. It's all right. I don't know why, you know. It's a big buildup.
Because they didn't...
Mark's going down there and raising holy hell today.
That's right.
He just called it Bush League.
It is Bush League. The game's been shipped now? Like, come on.
What was there to say, though? What was there to report?
We're not concerned about Carson.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
They weren't.
They didn't say that.
They did. I mean, what was there to say?
That what I just said.
There was nothing to say.
Carson's okay.
I said it then.
They should have said, get out of here. He's fine.
Didn't Doug
that should have been
okay?
In the practice.
Doug did not say he was okay.
Yeah, they kind of give a lot of like, we'll see.
This is the time to talk about it. You know,
last week is Carson a rookie? No. Okay, see you later.
And he did a Sal Pal one-on-one at the Eagles autism race on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it was... you know, we'll get to that when we get to it, but he's looking good.
Like, there you go.
Like, kind of just general, like, yeah, he's looking all right.
There's no difference between that and he's progressing well.
Well, he said he was looking good.
What is he progressing from? He could have played in the playoffs.
He didn't have surgery.
So what? Exactly. And then we're going to say he played in the playoffs. And then they're going to say that he wasn't healthy.
He was okay.
So I know that now because they finally made the announcement.
I don't know.
It's awesome.
But I wish it was. Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's cool now that I can relax a little bit because you made the announcement. But now we had the good news. The rest of the NFC is not so much. We're going to get into some things that went on in Washington as well as Dallas coming up in a few because everyone loves to point and laugh at the Cowboys, and that's something we can do in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. For Zeta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. Coming up top of the hour, we'll get to our Twitter poll brought to you by the great people of Window Nation. If you're looking for windows, shop windownation.com, and you can take 50% off on their 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payments, no payments, no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. So we got some good news yesterday about Carson Wentz. We'll get to that a little bit more in a second. But around the NFL, rather the NFC East, some of the teams didn't get so good news. OTAs getting underway. In Cleveland, they were feeling the vibes. Baker Mayfield completed a pass to Odell Beckham Jr. for the first time. Oh, everything's right with the world. NFC East, not so much.
Eli didn't have a stellar day.
I'm not expecting many stellar days from that man.
I love it. Well, my buddy in New York who's a huge Giants fan says now he blames everything on Gettleman. You know, there could be like a government issue with the politics, and it'll be like, damn Gettleman.
Oh, yeah.
The Mets lost Cespedes yesterday. He was like, this is Gettleman's fault. Like, everything's Gettleman now. It's great.
It is. I enjoy it.
Global
obviously.
Warming, Gettleman's fault.
I would blame him for everything, too, if I was a Giants fan. But Reuben Foster goes down with an injury, according to Ian Rappaport.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
You know, people say you never root for injury for anybody. But I will say this much. I don't mind it if it happens to some people. Like, okay, no, it happened. So apparently ACL tear. It looks like.
And possibly more.
Could be more, but needless to say, it looks like you won't be seeing him running for the Redskins anytime soon. So that was some bad
Schefter
news.
Schefter said out for the season.
Okay, so yeah. So we'll talk to Adam Schefter tomorrow, get even more news on that. But Reuben Foster, done for the year. For the Redskins, you're not going to see him run against the Eagles this year. Good stuff. Then the other thing happened out in Las Vegas. So as it turns out, over the weekend, Ezekiel Elliott was caught by TMZ cameras, which means probably just some guy in the street that had a phone
and sold it
and got like $50 for it from TMZ or whatever. I don't know. It's probably
we can all be TMZ cameramen.
Exactly.
If we want to stoop that low.
Credit to TMZ. That's become an incredible news source. You know, credit to them. So
Roger Goodell's worst enemy.
Yeah. So Ezekiel Elliott's at a concert in Las Vegas and he's there with his girlfriend. And they're walking around, they're having an argument.
Is this the same one that he pulled down her shirt on the parade float?
I don't know. Mm. They looked similar. But you can't really see the girl all that well. But anyway, it's dark, whatever. So he's out there in Las Vegas, and he's having himself a good time. He's dressed in a LeBron James jersey and some mesh shorts. And they're walking around, and it looks like they're having an argument. Now, and TMZ even points this out, and you can see it in the video. He never raises his hands against her. Like, he never goes to throw a punch or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He just goes to block her way a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So what I assume happened, Trey, was that a security guard, an event staff member, saw this happening and got involved and kind of tried to separate the two before it escalated at all. And he has Ezekiel Elliott kind of pulled aside. And the staff member, the event staff worker, he has his back to a bike rack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ezekiel Elliott kind of backs him up against the bike rack and a little bit of maybe puts his shoulder into him. And the guy falls backwards onto the bike rack. Next thing you know, Ezekiel Elliott is handcuffed by police. He's never officially arrested. He's never officially arrested, but he's put in handcuffs. Now, that's a bad thing. And I will say this. If you watch the video, you can see that Ezekiel Elliott, again, doesn't raise his hands against the woman. He does kind of back the guy up into the bike rack. And then the other thing you might notice is his girlfriend wearing pants.
I'll have to go Zapruder it.
You're going to have to Zapruder this. Bob, did you watch the video?
I'm looking at it now, and that was my question also.
Trey, did you watch the video?
No, I did not.
Maybe skin colored? Maybe she went with her natural nipple color for her pants?
That's what's up.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, my God.
And I can make this joke because everyone's okay. But Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know if his girlfriend was wearing pants or not. If she was, they were of the shortest short variety.
Mm.
Impossible skin color, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
skin tone.
Why
if
not?
Yeah, and you're at a party. You're at a concert.
There's pants.
Yeah. But it's questionable.
You're not walking around nude. I mean, who would do that?
It looks like little booty shorts.
Booty shorts.
Yeah. That's
little booty shorts.
It took me about three or four times to go.
Neutral color booty shorts.
Neutral color. Jamie?
Actually, she just turned and looks like a thong.
Ooh.
Maybe that's why the fight started.
Yeah, that could be it.
He's like, damn, baby, you're showing your butt cheeks off to this whole crowd.
You got cheeks out, baby. What you doing? What are you doing?
I can't tell. It's really confusing.
That's yes.
Because it looks like a thong at one point.
They're booty shorts. Yes. Yeah.
Now when she turns, it looks like a
when
thong.
When she... They're skin tight as skin tight can
be. Watching Bob watch this is phenomenal.
No, I think she's in a thong. I don't know.
See, in all honesty, this is where my mind went. I think she's wearing kind of runner type shorts that just have the outline, but no cheeks.
Oh.
Something brand new I've never seen before. Whatever it is.
Maybe she's wearing something new.
Ezekiel appears to be pretty drunk, too. He's swaying around. Yeah.
He's having some issues.
And getting in her way when she's trying to walk.
Yeah.
He's scum.
he's a scumbag.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's a scummy
maybe
night.
Maybe they didn't want her to turn around. I don't know.
Maybe he knew the person was filming.
What kind of shorts are they?
I'm so confused by these.
I don't know what kind of shorts. If anyone knows what kind of shorts that Ezekiel Elliott's girlfriend is wearing in the video, please let us know. We would like to Google them. 610-632-0975.
I'm going with thong. I've reviewed it now about 8 times in a row.
Ezekiel looks a little chunky, too.
Oh, here
he's eating all that soup.
Yeah. He's not wearing the belly shirt because there's a lot of belly to be showing. He's got the LeBron James jersey going.
With his Ewok head ass.
Oh, yeah. He looks very intoxicated.
Now, you would think for a second here, right? You would think that Ezekiel Elliott, that's the worst part of his day, getting the handcuffs put on him.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good look to anybody's day.
But you would think that would be the worst part of his day.
That's interesting.
To get handcuffed.
You would think
But what seems to be just 24 hours later, as I think it was EagleNation.com that got this video, take a listen to this as Ezekiel Elliott was walking through the Las Vegas airport to fly out of Las Vegas after this fiasco. He had evidently encountered some Eagles fans.
E-G-L-E-S Eagles!
Not exactly the way you want to end that trip after a horrible fiasco involving your girlfriend.
I know, you like, man, not right now, man. But that's our fans, man. You know, they're going to come get you now.
Now, Sam is telling us it might be fishnet leggings.
Something. There's some cheeks exposed.
There's definitely some cheeks out.
Yeah, I think they're out and about.
Yeah, she's a little upset.
You think the cheeks are out?
I think
that's illegal, isn't
she's
it?
She's wearing... No. Not in Vegas.
And butt cheeks? When are butt cheeks illegal, Bob?
Yeah, butt cheeks have never been illegal.
Yeah. All right.
Free the cheeks.
I don't hang in the crowd that has the butt cheeks flowing.
Free the cheeks.
I gotta say, if I go to somewhere and the butt cheeks are out, they're probably going to ask you to leave. The places I hang, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
We don't want to go to those spots.
I mean, we've been to clubs here and there and in our lifetimes, right? We've seen some stuff.
Yeah.
We've seen things.
I mean, my honest question was, okay, good. Nothing awful is happening in this video. And they kind of, like, the way they framed it, I think the original headline of the story for TMZ was Ezekiel Elliott knocks down event worker or concert worker. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this guy. And, yeah, he knocked him down, but it wasn't a punch. He didn't throw a punch at the guy.
No, he leaned in with his chest, but then there was definitely a shoulder, like you said, a shoulder and an elbow.
Well,
something
I think
like
the fanny pack might have bumped the man.
Oh, you think that's what it was? Yeah, the items in the fanny pack were protruding from the body?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the fanny pack.
So it doesn't look like this will affect his playing. It'll affect his 2019 NFL season.
No.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.